right, here we go again. Man, we can't stop making informant episodes.
It's so easy to do because we don't prepare. We just sit down. We take questions that people have asked or things that we think that might be worth attempting to answer, and we'll just ask a question and just talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and
I've actually received a few text messages throughout the past couple of weeks of other topics to add to the list.
Yeah.
I think we have like, what do we say, 40
or
so?
Yeah, we got like a list of 40 things, and we just roll so down the list, and we'll knock out five or six of these things in one morning.
Yeah.
So for this particular episode...
great question.
Yeah,
hot topic.
Really interesting question.
A lot of confusion.
Especially because we got such good feedback from the original informal informants episode, right? Does Satan know your thoughts?
Like, yeah.
There was a lot of people who were saying, hey, you know, that's interesting. So related to that question is, can a Christian be demon-possessed?
Okay.
So demon possession, as we read it in the New Testament, we don't really see or experience a whole lot of that here, to our knowledge. And so that question is, can a believer actually be possessed by an evil spirit?
Let's make sure we have clarification on that. We're talking about a true,
right,
authentic Christian,
yes,
one that has been converted, right?
Right.
Can they be demon possessed?
Right.
Right. We're not talking about like external influence,
right,
or
right,
oppression
or temptation.
Temptation.
Right.
Or,
right.
Know, those are other, I don't know, sometimes terminology used to describe,
yep,
the influence of Satan and demons. So we're talking about actual possession. So if,
right,
you read through the New Testament, which, by the way, there isn't one example in the Old Testament of even demon possession. It's,
mm-hmm,
just not talked about,
mm-hmm,
it, except for a couple references referring to idols or false gods.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the New Testament, what we're talking about is the demon possession that Jesus faced, the demon possession that the apostles faced. Does that same type of demon possession happen for Christians?
Right, right.
I would argue that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. They cannot. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Cannot. Okay, where are you at on that?
I would
agree. Let's talk about why.
Yeah, I would agree. The first thing I would think to try to have an informed answer to this, the first thing I think of is the New Testament was, and I don't have any documentation in front of me or any quotes from any scholars, but I would argue that was probably the height of,
yes,
demonic activity on,
yep,
the earth during Jesus' ministry. Think about what was at stake for the demons,
mm-hmm,
and for Satan and the evil spirits. Like, this was the height. So we read the accounts in the New Testament of Jesus and the disciples all interacting with it,
mm-hmm,
but that was, again, highly concentrated into this one era and area of the world, right? So demon activity was exponentially greater during that period than others.
Yeah,
I would say, right?
Yeah. And I think you come to that conclusion just based on reading scripture.
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
it's, although demons are active in the Old Testament, the high point or the peak of it, like you're saying,
right,
is during the time of Jesus. And I would even argue during the time of Jesus' ministry.
Right, right, right. During that three-year window,
yeah,
or so. Because even the New Testament, beyond the Gospels, you see some in the book of Acts.
Right.
But there's like little to no mention in Paul's letters or in the writings of John.
Yep.
Like beyond, like to say, hey, this is not, we don't have prescriptions or directions on how to handle demon possession in the church, right? Like, that's not there.
Right.
And I think that's a good argument also to support our answer, to say there's not a single example in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, there's not a single example in Scripture where a believer is demon possessed, or that demon possession could,
right,
or potentially might occur to a believer.
Right. Yeah, I think that's foundational. There,
right,
there just isn't an example anywhere,
mm-hmm,
that we can go to say, this
right,
person, that person was demon possessed, even though they were a true believer.
Right.
We just can't even make that case because
right,
it's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter, could Peter have been possibly demon possessed at that point?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is. Has Peter been regenerated at that point? I mean, he had just
right,
said, "You're the Christ,"
right,
but we don't really understand in the apostles' timeline, the gospel hasn't quite
right.
been completed. So I think that's kind of an interesting question there. But Jesus says that Satan desires to sift you as wheat.
Right.
But there's a difference between Satan acting, influencing, as you mentioned, like externally
right.
versus actually dwelling inside.
Yeah, I would say that
Peter,
would be an
right?
external,
right,
an external
right. like,
work.
Like
yeah.
that's more influential. The other thing I think about with that is in the New Testament, we often have, and you can correct me if I'm missing something or if I haven't thought of something, but most of the time that I can think of, demon possession and activity is paralleled with sinfulness or with the heart of sin.
Right.
So I think about, like, for instance, the man in Mark who Jesus drives out legion, right?
Right?
Like the many demons that are within him, and he sends them into the herd of pigs. Well, that man, after the freedom that he
yep.
experiences, there's a parallel there with salvation,
right.
right? Like there's a deliverance from that and there's a deliverance from his sin. So the demon activity and possession is paralleled or connected to sinfulness and bondage in sin.
Right.
Right. So I would argue that because of those connections and parallels, a believer no longer could even be accessed by
right.
you know, demon possession.
Yeah, that guy, Mark 5, he actually tries to get in the boat with Jesus.
Right.
Right. He doesn't want to be away from
right.
him. Right. Which I think is evidence of a changed
right.
new life, new heart.
Exactly.
That you just explained there. I like how earlier you said, look, if you read through the New Testament, there isn't any direction or commands for how Christians should deal with their own demon possession,
right?
Right.
right. I mean, Paul tells us in Ephesians, be aware, right? Spiritual warfare
yeah.
is, I mean, put on the armor of God. I think of Ephesians 6, Ephesians 2, the principalities of the
mm-hmm.
air. And I mean, he's very much in tune with the spiritual world, but it is never discussed or even hinted at, or there's no inferences made where demon possession
yeah.
can happen. So I think that that's a really good observation to think about the difference between possession and influence or activity or warfare, right? Like if I'm engaging in war with the demonic world, it's not internal,
right?
That's external,
right? Because your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's where
right?
I want. That's I think
yeah.
if you're gonna have this conversation, you've gotta finish there.
Well, yeah, that's part of the Spirit's work. He has regenerated you. He now indwells you
yeah.
as a seal. Ephesians 1 as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1, I think. 1 Corinthians talks about your body being a temple of the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit, right? There's just so much evidence talking about even the indwelling, not of a demonic spirit, but of
right.
the true Holy Spirit. 1 John 2, I think, touches on that a little bit, talking about you have the Holy One, referring to the
right.
Spirit of God within you.
Yeah. Well, and the question then would be, can a demonic spirit occupy the same space as the divine,
right?
Like, and I don't want to get into that. I think that's an unnecessary,
right.
you know, hypothetical. The reality is that we have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, be being filled with that
yeah.
Spirit, right? Like,
yeah.
empty yourself of you and fill yourself with the Spirit, and so this. The idea that, hey, make sure you put your safeguards up and keep the demons out, like, that's not in there.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's an argument that it's an argument from silence that I think has little to no weight.
Yeah.
So,
it's just a foreign concept.
Right.
It's just not in there.
Right. So, in other words, I should
yeah,
not
wrap us up here.
Yeah, I should not. I think the way I would want to encourage a believer today, we don't need to be wondering, Am I open to a demon possession, or, you know, I mean, this may not really be a hot topic here in America,
right.
But I don't have to wonder if I'm vulnerable to that type of indwelling or if that could happen to me. The fact is that the Bible, is as long as you are born again, true follower
yeah.
of Jesus Christ, the Bible has no place or
right.
no concept or category for that type of indwelling.
Yep.